We're doing the Sfat Tamim, and the Chafetz Chaim has been going off on a very, very long tangent here in the footnote about how people have to be more careful to save their money, and people shouldn't be out to beat the Joneses, and people have to be more careful not to be spendthrifts, and the spending ultimately is a cycle that causes people to focus on material goods. You spend more, you have to earn more, you have to earn more, you spend more, and then people enter the cycle that really hurts their spiritual and physical world. Now he says, and in the Mishnah Berura, Siman Kufnun Vav, he wrote as follows. Lo yasem lachto ikar. Siman Kufnun Vav is, remember the order of Or HaChaim, right? It goes in the order of your day. So it begins with waking up in the morning and washing your hands and going to the bathroom and putting on tzitzis and putting on tefillin and then Psukei Desimra and Shachris, right? Birchas HaTorah. And then you finish shul, right? Kriyas HaTorah, and then you leave shul, and what do? You go to work. So that first siman that discusses leaving shul and moving on with your day has a lot of discussion on how you should run your day. It's only one siman. Then it goes on to, okay, now you come home for lunch, the laws of blessings, washing your hands for the meal, the laws of the meal, the laws of blessings after the meal, the laws of blessings on other foods, and then mincha mairiv, and then you go over to Shabbos. Okay? So in this siman, he writes as follows, Lo yasim lachto ikar. A person should not make his work the main focus of his life. A person's work should be something he deals with in accordance with his need. It's not the focus of life. You ask a person, what are you? What do you want to be? You ask a kid. He says, a lawyer. That's what you want to be. You want to be a kind person who accomplishes, who helps the world move forward. You'll make your living being a lawyer. That's your defining character. You're a lawyer. You know the old joke, oh, I shouldn't say it online, okay.
There is a gender up there.
After class. So every person has to make what they need to make a living. A person has to be careful because there's there are things that have an allure. Shemifateuko shekol hayom tzirich hishtadlut al harvacha hazo. What happens is, a person thinks all day long he has to work on doing this, so he can make his money. A person has to take a good look inside, do some serious introspection, and ask himself, what does he really have to do? Shiv shal bilado. What's the minimum you got to do? You can't work without it. I have a friend who's in the stock market, in the forex market. So he once told me that he was spending his whole day looking at the charts, seeing the charts go up, seeing the charts go down. And suddenly he realized he makes more money on Shabbos and Yom Tov when he's not touching it. he makes his decision, he puts in the order, the place where he'll buy, the place where he'll sell, and it's enough that he checks before Yom Tov, after Yom Tov. So sometimes we kid ourselves. I gotta look. I gotta check. I gotta be on top of things. Maybe yes. Maybe no. If a person really thinks, what must I do? So then suddenly he can attain the point where his work becomes the arai, the less important, that's not the focus of his life. The Torah becomes the focus of his life. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. I'll tell you, we had in yeshiva two brothers who were both in real estate, and every day they would show up to learn, every evening, like at 5, 6 o'clock, they'd have a chavruso. It was one of the nicest things to see. Two brothers coming in every night, 5, 6 o'clock, learning 3 hours. They finished Shas I don't know how many times. Now what was beautiful was that I, who was just learning all day in the yeshiva, I saw how each brother, they had separate offices, each brother, when they'd have an hour break between meetings, they'd show up in yeshiva and learn for an hour. Aside from their chavrusa, you suddenly saw these people would grab every free hour. Suddenly you saw them coming back to yeshiva learning an hour on their own. So you saw these were people who were living this ideal. The Torah was their main focus. They needed to work on the side, fine, but whenever they had a free minute, they were back in Beis Medrash learning.
Why did they go back to Beis Medrash to learn? I mean, if they're learning alone, they have a book, why can't they just find a corner?
Usually, if you try to learn on your own at home or in the office, there are a million distractions. I can tell you, I try learning in shul, but I live in the community. What I've started doing is I sometimes take the commute into Jerusalem, because then I could learn. Now, I'm not a real yekka. There was a real yekka who learned very seriously, and the Beis Medrash he learned in was across the street. He wouldn't come home for lunch. He'd cross the street in the morning, sit and learn through the night, and then he'd come home, take along his sandwich. But I'm here learning. What am I going to go back home for? Oh, okay. So, okay, I'll tell you. I used to go to Rav Moshe Halberstam Zatzal. And he had a waiting room. In the waiting room, he had this big sign framed with a letter from the Rebbe of Satmar, Rav Yoel of Satmar. Now, I know I'm getting Akiva all excited. Now, what did the Satmar Rebbe write? Right, I referenced Chabad this morning, now Rav Yoel of Satmar.
What's going on here?
So the Satmar Rebbe writes, he says, don't let your evil inclination get the better of you. You're going to tell yourself, I could learn at home. Don't. Get yourself up. Go out to Beis Medrash and learn there. We all know what happens when you try to learn at home. I remember that letter. Get out. He has this whole two or three paragraphs telling people, get out of your house and go to Beis Medrash. Aside from the merits of learning in Beis Medrash, you strengthen others. I told people in our community, if you can, come learn in Beis Medrash. We had soldiers who were getting up at 5 in the morning to learn before they go out to their job in the army. And I told them all, do me a favor, come to shul. You strengthen others, they strengthen you. And now we have a situation where you come to shul, you have clusters. You have people learning from early in the morning till late at night because everyone gets together and it strengthens people. Suddenly you realize, hey, people around me are learning. People start having chavrusas. You should go to a Beis Medrash or a shul where there are other people and learn. Now the test of this, the litmus test, he writes in the footnote over there in the Mishnah Brura, he writes as follows, so that one's desire doesn't mislead him. If someone told you, I want you to go to work in order to feed someone else and clothe them, how much would you work? How much would you say is enough? You'd say, one suit's enough. One pair of shoes is enough. Would you be working to cover all the other things? You wouldn't. You'd say, he doesn't need all that. That's a waste. Well, by the same token, when we look at ourselves and ask ourselves, how much do I need to work? That's the litmus test. Ask yourself, if I were funding someone else, how much would I think was legitimate? And that brings us to the conclusion of this beautiful and long footnote.